Well, turn to the book of Galatians, and then we will pray together and get started. While you're turning, thought I dropped one in my pocket. I did not. Well, that means there's more for you. There are new cards out in the back. Grab two or three, drop them in your purse, your pocket, your wallet, whatever you will have with you as you are out and about. Have them with you. It's not like you got to invite somebody. But what I found is that by having the cards just around, an opportunity to invite someone very likely will present itself. Maybe now, maybe over the next few months, as we're talking about Galatians, and then you could just, there's the card, and you can invite them. This is what we're talking about at church. So have some about your person, and just let God put opportunities in front of you and use them. All right, let's pray, and then we will read the Bible. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this book and your promise that it is living and it is powerful. It's so much more than just words printed on a page. It's your spirit breathed these out, and as we read them, you connect with us and you talk to us. And I pray, God, that as we read your word, that your word would read us. That you would lay our hearts bare before yourself, and that you would bring us closer to you and change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we are starting the book of Galatians. Galatians actually is a letter that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote. He wrote down this letter, and he sent it to several groups of Christians, so several congregations, probably similar to us, in the region of Galatia, a region where he had traveled. He'd like passed through there, and he started he taught people how to follow Jesus in different cities as he would go through, like Iconium or Lystra, Derbe, different places where he traveled through. So if you're reading the book of Acts, some of the places he went through, he would teach people how to follow Jesus, and then he would baptize them, and then he would say, okay, now you guys, you know, get together and celebrate the Lord's Supper and teach other people to follow Jesus. And that's, you know, that was a church. And probably they met in people's homes. We don't know. It doesn't say, so that means we don't need to know. But these little groups of Christ followers were left behind by Paul, and then he would write them letters. And sometimes he would travel back through and visit them again, and sometimes when he did that, he would establish leadership. So he would say, okay, so now you guys have been faithful, and you've grown up a little bit in your faith, and you are the leaders of this group as you continue to help other people follow Christ. So he writes this letter to the different congregations, the different groups of Christians in the region of Galatia. And the theme of it, and we're not going to really look at it this much today, but the theme of the whole letter, I want us to start hearing this and getting it in us as we read this. And what I would encourage you to do, we're going to go through it piece by piece, but for it to really hit you as we're doing it, I would encourage you, read Galatians. Over the next few weeks as we go through it, have the an idea. Don't do it because I'm saying it, but if you know you think, oh, that's a good idea, then do it. Read the book of Galatians every week for the next few weeks. You say, hey, won't I get bored? You will after like the third or fourth time. But if you keep pushing through and keep reading it over and over and over again for the next several weeks, as we go through it, the boredom will break through, and all of a sudden it's like a flower blossoming. All of a sudden you'll see more stuff that you didn't see the first three or four times if you make yourself read it over and over again. Maybe that won't happen for you. That's what happens when I read the same book of the Bible, you know, over and over and over again. So give it a shot. If you're an overachiever, read Galatians once a day. You can't read it too much. But unless you're following a different reading plan, if you need something to read in your daily reading, over the next few weeks, read Galatians. Just kind of immerse yourself in it. Just get it to where, like, you know the next thing that's going to come as you're reading it. And then read it again. And God will give you so much more as you're reading it yourself than what you get during this time on Sunday, and this time will be so much more meaningful for you. So, read Galatians, but the theme of it is being good, being being good, being justified, being able to defend yourself by saying, I'm a good person. I'm a worthy person. I'm worthy of the oxygen that I'm breathing, and I'm worthy to stand before God, and I'm good before God, and I'm good before other people, and I can even look in the mirror and say, I'm good to myself. I know me, and I'm pretty happy with me. Well, the question that Paul raises up in this book, and then he answers it, is, why do you think you're good? Or if you say, I'm not, what do you think would make you good? How are you trying to get gooder? Yeah, just see if you're with me. That's not a word. But how are you trying to become a better person? What do you think would make you a better person? Why are you good? What do you base your self-worth and your worth before God and your worth as a person of being a good person on? What do you base that on? That's what he's going to raise up and then answer as he goes through this. And this is a good question for us. And as we go through this, listen, we will grow together. We will learn together, but more importantly, we will grow. We will grow closer to God. We will grow as Christ followers. So I'm really excited about going through this book with y'all. Now, just kind of a little word of warning. As we read through this and really dive into what Paul is saying, maybe not so much today, but in general, as we get into him talking about what makes you good, why do you think you're good, what really makes you a good person, it's going to make us uncomfortable. It's not going to be the most comfortable read because it goes, what he's going to say is going to go against everything that in me naturally says, this is why you're a good person. And at the same time, what we're going to see is it's going to be very comforting. Because he's going to give us an even better way that we can know that we are good, that we are good people, that we are justified, that we're worthy, that we can stand before God. So let's start it off, Galatians 1, verse 1 and 2. Just your basic, you know, my kids are learning how to write different kinds of letters, and each letter has their form. This appears, the way this letter starts, this appears to be just basic epistle form. When an apostle writes a letter, this is how he starts his letter. I don't know if they learned it or made it up, but this is just how they do it. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches, congregations of Galatia. So he starts off and he introduces himself. They already knew him because he had been through there. They became Christians through him, but he talks about himself a little bit and the people who are with him, even in his introduction. And as we look at what Paul is saying about himself in this introduction, in his salutation, he's talking about his life. He says, I'm an apostle, and then he goes on this little tangent, and it would appear, but if every word of the Bible is inspired and helpful, then we say, well, maybe it's not as much an unhelpful tangent, but maybe there's a reason why he went on this little tangent. He says, I'm an apostle, and not because someone made me an apostle, but because God and Jesus made me an apostle. What's an apostle? He was a sent one. He was sent out, and he was sent to start churches through, and he was following one of the people who had apostolic authority, like Peter and James and John and the original 12. And so he talks about himself and who he is, even though they know him. And I was thinking about this, it raises up a question, because he's content to sum up his life in a very concise way in a sentence. This is who I am. This is why I am who I am. This is who I'm, whose orders I'm marching under. This is who I am. And I started thinking about that. It's like, okay, how do I sum up my life? How could I sum up my life in a sentence for you or for anybody? You know, just like a tweet, right? 140 characters. Here's my life. Here's who I am and why I am and what makes me. Yeah, you start thinking about that. And then you start thinking about, well, what would you want that to be? You know, because a lot of times I think, okay, well, if I had to put down what I am right now, I'm not sure I'd want to put that in 140 characters. That's not, but what would I want that to be? What do you want your life to be? If you had to sum it up like Paul just did and say who you are and why you are that, what would you want that description to be? And so I wrote down two lists of words, and just think with me on this, okay, would you like your life to be more like list A or list B? And I probably, that's probably how I think by default, list A or list B, first choice, second choice, because I've had horrible eyes since I was a little kid, so I spent more time sitting in a chair with a little thing in front of my face saying, one or two. So do a one or two with me here with this. Would you rather your life be full and confident and decisive and joyful and full of achievement and purpose and leave behind a great legacy? This one's kind of obvious. It's not like the eye doctor choice where you're like, well, I'm not sure, kind of. Could you say that again? Right? It's obviously that one, but let's look at the other list. Or would you rather be, you know, put in your little description, inconsistent? I start a lot of things and I don't really finish much. I don't really leave my mark. I could be gone tomorrow and not really missed. Sad, insecure, empty, without purpose. It's obviously list A, right? That's what we want our lives to be. And as we look at the way Paul said who he said he is and why he said he is that way, here's what I think we're going to see in this. Even in his salutation, we're going to see how we can live more of that list A life, the kind of purposeful, confident, decisive, full life that we would want to live, and I think that desire comes from God. And as we look at what Paul, the way Paul said he is, and then how we could be and should be because of that, here's what I think we're going to get out of this. If you're a Christian, it's going to remind us of the life we should be living, the life Christ calls us to live, the life Christ calls his followers to live. And if you're not a Christian yet, if you're just investigating this, I think what we're going to see in this, you're going to see a picture of the life that Christ would invite you to live. So let's read the text again. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me to the churches in Galatia. When we see this description of Paul, here is the big idea that I see in that. That someone who follows Jesus devotes his life to Jesus' mission and lives under Jesus' orders. If you call yourself a Christ follower, if I call myself a Christ follower, then that means that you and I are supposed to live devoted to Jesus' mission and under Jesus' orders. We see that in the example of Paul, right? He says, I'm under Jesus' orders. God is the one who's telling me what to do. I'm not doing what I'm doing because somebody else told me to. I'm doing it because God told me to. And I'm helping you get closer to God under God's orders because God told me to. But see, that's not really why we live or what we focus on for the most part, is it? Most of the time, don't we do what we do not necessarily because God told me to? I'm talking normal life, just everyday life. Most of our life, I think, if we had to put it in 140 characters, it would be, I do what I do because, don't count the characters, I don't know how long this is going to be, but if I had to just sum it up, I do what I do because I want to, because I have to, or because I want to make somebody happy. I do what I do because I want to, because I have to, or because I want to make somebody happy. I do a lot of what I do because I want to. I just plain and simple, I enjoy it. Or I want to avoid something. So I do, that makes me do what I do because I like to. I like to be warm, so I keep my heater on. I do most of what I do because I like to. So think of your life and the activities you're involved in, the things you do. How many of them are just because you like to? No matter what you tell your husband, your wife, your parents, it's, you know, to justify this expenditure of your time and your money, you really do it because you like to, okay? We do what we do because we have to. I'm not a fan of driving 35, but I have to, so I do. I don't like tickets, so I drive 35-ish, as close as I can. I would rather drive 55 as long as there are no cars in front of me. But we do a lot of what we do because we have to. Got to pay the bills. Got to do this. Got to. I have to. How much of your life do you live just because you have to? Yeah, I have to do this. I have to take care of this. I have to do this. I have to do it in this way. How much of what you do is because you have to? And how much of what you do is because you do it really to make other people happy? You don't necessarily want to. You don't have to. But want to make my mom happy. Want to make my wife happy. Want to make my kids happy. Want to make this my boss happy. Want to make all these other people happy. And that's there's some validity to that. So how much of what you do is just to make other people happy? And at the end of the day, you're like, you know, a lot of what I did today wasn't because I thought I should do this or I want to do this or even have to do this. Not going to go to jail if I don't do it, but I'm doing it because I'm making other people happy. And when we live that way, it doesn't end up well for us. We end up having that. Remember the list B, the second list I read? We end up having a list B life. We're insecure because, well, we do something, and then we, is that what I should be doing? Is that really, I'm doing this because I want to, but then what is this person going to say? What are they going to say? I'm not sure. And then we're inconsistent. We start stuff, and then we change, and then we do something else, and we do something else because, well, I wanted to do this, but then this person wants me to do this, and then I have to do this, and we're all over the place as we go through life. We start more than we finish. We end up, we do things to make ourselves happy and to make other people happy, but we end up not being happy because you can't make everybody, including yourself, happy. And so we get to the end of our days and we're not thrilled with how we're living our lives. We're not focused and happy. We're not focused. We live moment to moment because in this moment, what do I need to do to make myself happy, to make my wife happy, to make my kids happy, to make everybody around me happy? I focus on this moment, not on the big picture. And as a result, I end up living moment to moment, day to day, doing what I have to do. And my life ends up not making much of a mark, especially after I'm gone, especially in eternity. So read verse 1 again. And in Paul's description of himself, we see how to escape from that kind of unhappy, insecure, inconsistent, unfocused, wasted life that we live when we live for making ourselves and other people happy. Paul, an apostle, not from men or through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, or by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. He says, I live under God's orders. Do what I do, just starting out. And he's going to say some stuff that's kind of be oof, right in their face as we get into it. You'll see later on. But hey, he starts out by saying, I do what I do because God told me to. I do what I do because God tells me to. I live under God's orders, not my own. I don't do what I want to do. I don't do what other people tell me to do. I do what God tells me to do. You look at some of his other letters. He doesn't say Paul an apostle. He says Paul a, depends on your translation, maybe servant. Look at Romans 1:1. Most of your translations say servant. I've been told, I have looked at the lexicons, and I'm sure I'll be corrected if I'm wrong, but I've been told that word is actually much better translated. In fact, only true translation, a correct translation, would be slave. Paul considered himself a slave of God and Jesus Christ. He lives under God's orders, and that is the key to us. Listen, that is the key to us living the lives that God wants us to live, is not doing what we do because, well, I want to and this person wants me to and I have to. It's doing what we do because God tells us to. You say, well, everything? I mean, you know, church stuff, yeah. Reading the Bible, maybe talking to somebody about Jesus or doing a Bible study. I could see God wanting me to do it, so that's why I would do it. But everything? Look real quick. We're not going to do this much as we go through Galatians, but I was reading this morning and yesterday. Well, it would have been after midnight. So sometime this morning I was reading this and it just hit me that this would be really, this kind of fits. Look at Colossians 3, just a couple pages over. Colossians 3, 17 through 23, or 17 and 23. Look what Paul does, says. He says, he uses the word whatever. That means anything. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Then jump down to verse 23. He repeats most of that again. Whatever you do, work heartily as to for the Lord and not for man. You get this idea that Paul, being under God's orders, being under Jesus' orders, wouldn't have been something that he would have said, well, yeah, I'm under Jesus' orders as far as it relates to ministry. No, it was the whole life. You see in those verses how everything, word or deed, everything you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything you do, whatever you do, do it heartily as for the Lord. You see how he connects everything we do, everything, to Jesus being the one who gives us our orders, to Jesus being the one who tells us what to do. So I started thinking about this question this week, and this is why we were going to do verses 1 through 5. And just Monday and Tuesday, I just started thinking about this question. It was like, we got to just talk about this Sunday. As I was reading that verse, this question was just in my head. It was, how would our lives change? How would my life change? Ask this for yourself. How would your life change? If we started doing everything we did because Jesus told us to, and if we only did what Jesus told us to, kind of similar to what Jesus says in John, where he says, I only do what my Father tells me to do. What if we could start thinking about our lives and thinking, well, yeah, the reason I work is because, well, if I don't work, I'm worse than an unbeliever because I'm not taking care of my family. So I work and I'm working for the Lord to give to bring home bread, and I'm also God's missionary. What if everything we did, we were able to tie to what Jesus is telling us to do, or we just stopped doing it? How would your life change? How would my life change? How would our lives change if we analyzed everything? I said, okay, is this something Jesus wants me to do or not? And how would our lives change if we went through our lives, we started saying, wait a second, I am the servant of Christ. I'm the slave of Christ. I'm under Christ's orders. God, what do you want me to do in this moment? What do you want me to do right now? What do you want me? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to? What do you want me to do? Because I tell you what, as I started thinking about this week, I started kind of observing there are two parallel tracks. One was I was thinking about this, kind of getting ready for today, and the other track was I was just living my life. And as I was thinking about this and then living my life, I started noticing I do a lot of this inner dialogue. What do I want to do now? What should I do? What should I do? What's next? What's next? What do I want to do? I'm the one running the show. I started thinking, okay, how would my life change if everything I did in every moment was because God wanted me to, if I was truly living under his orders? And you say, well, yeah, that sounds good, but how does God actually guide us? We're not apostles. Maybe he had a direct connection we don't have. You say, well, no, God talks to us when we read this. God tells us what to do when we read this. God, if you're God's child, his Spirit is in you, and one of the main things the Spirit does is he guides us, not in a weird, wacky way, but he guides us as we go through our lives, especially as we read this and as we're living life. He guides us. The opportunities, if you look at Paul's life as he was going in his journeys through the book of Acts, a lot of what he did, how God guided him, was by the opportunities that were put in front of him, the people that were put around him. That's how he saw God guiding him. He focused on what God put around him. So the abilities and the opportunities and the people. And so if I start thinking about that, if you think that with me, okay, well, what are the people, or who are the people around me? What are the opportunities that I have? What are the abilities that I have? How is God guiding me even through that? And when we live that way, I think what we start experiencing is what we hear Paul, at least what I hear in Paul's, even his tone as he says his salutation. There's confidence. There's freedom. There's and when he's talking, there's authority. There's resolution. There's, I know who I am. I know why I am. I know who's sending me. I know the order. I live as someone who's guided by the Father. Jesus tells me what to do. That's who I am. There's this confidence. And the more that we do what we do because God is telling us to, and not because, well, this is what I want to do, this is what I need to do, this is what's next, this is what's going to make somebody happy, the more confident and focused and full of purpose our lives will be. And you say, well, yeah, what purpose? Where would God take me if everything I did was under His orders? If God was directing every area of my life, what would that look like? Well, look what it looked like for Paul. Look in verse 2. He says, so he's saying, I'm writing this, and all the brothers who are with me to the churches in Galatia. And then what does he do? Look at the history that's around that phrase. He had traveled through there and talked to them about Jesus and spent some time with them, baptizing them, helping them decide to follow Jesus. And then he gave them what they needed so they could continue growing up to be more like Jesus. And then he leaves, and he's the brothers who are with me, he's traveling with other people. Why did Paul travel with people? Well, because he was helping them follow Jesus and learn how they could help other people follow Jesus. He was making followers who made followers. And then he's writing this letter. And it's not like when you and I type up an email and then we hit send and it's done. To do this was like a big task. He had to have something wet that he could like mark with, and I think they called it ink. And then he had to have this paper that it wasn't just like going to Walmart and buying paper. It was a big deal to write this down and then to get it to these people. He very likely had to take one of the people in his little entourage and say, hey, would you mind being away from your family for, you know, a couple months? And could you, on foot, take this letter, make sure it doesn't get wet, make sure it doesn't get ruined, and could you deliver this by hand to them, and then come back? And then they're going to read it, and each little town is going to read it, and then they're going to send somebody on a couple days' journey to the next town on foot to deliver this letter. So you see, Paul gave his life to helping other people know Jesus. That's what it looked like for Paul when God was directing every area of his life, when he was living under God's orders. That's what it looked like for him. And isn't that just kind of like a practical application of the Great Commission? What did Jesus say when he was leaving the earth? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, so therefore go and make other followers. Help other people follow me. That bring them to the moment of decision where they repent and are baptized, and they enter into following me and being my children. And then help them to obey everything I've commanded, which is help them become like me. Live your lives that focused on that. So if I start saying, okay, what if I lived every moment of my life under Jesus' orders, doing what Jesus is telling me to do in that moment, don't you think that most of what I would do would probably be centered around, well, staying alive and telling people about Jesus? If I'm following Jesus and that was his commission and now I'm living under his direct orders like Paul was, that's what it meant for Paul to be under Jesus' direct orders. He helped people who were already Christians grow up to be like Jesus, and he helped other people become Christians. That's what he was focused on. That's what his life was given to. And if that is what Jesus would ask us to be focused on, and if we would become people who would say, okay, everything I do is because Jesus is telling me to, then that helps us look at every area of our life differently. And maybe we do some of the same things we're still doing, but maybe we see a deeper purpose in doing them. And maybe some of the things that we do, we say, you know what, I'm doing that for a reason that is not related to Jesus at all. I'm going to stop doing that. Yeah, but it's not a bad thing. It's not something Jesus is telling me to do. I'm going to stop doing it. So, let me end with three questions. If we're going to be like Paul, if we would aspire to be like Paul, to be people who say, this is who I am, and this is why I am who I am, I live as someone under Jesus' orders, here are three questions we have to ask ourselves to just kind of do an inventory of our lives. One, what do you do in your life that God hasn't asked you to do? It may be a good thing, may not even be a sin thing, might be a huge distraction from helping people follow Jesus. It might suck up tons of your time and money and your focus. Maybe something you love, and maybe God says, didn't ask you to do that. That's a huge distraction, detour for you. May the Spirit help us to see what those are. May He give us the strength to stop doing them so that we could be people who say like Paul, I do what I do because God told me to. I live under Jesus' orders. Second question, what has God asked you to do that you're not doing? Maybe it's related to a person, investing in a person, helping a person get closer to the kingdom. Maybe, I don't know. What has God asked you to do as you've read the Bible and as the Spirit has prompted you as you've lived your life that you're not doing? Maybe for you, you're not a Christian and you say, God has asked me to become his daughter, his son, to repent, to be baptized. Haven't done it. Maybe it's spending more time with Him. Maybe it's investing in someone. Well, what is it for you? If we're going to be people who live under God's orders, then when God prompts us to do something, we need to do it. We need to do it. This week, or last week, I don't know, time runs together. My wife said, I've been thinking I should pray for this person, I'm just going to do it. And so she prayed for them, and then she sent them an email because she felt like she should. But she was like, this didn't really see it as being God. And then found out a few days later that they were in the middle of a medical situation in that very moment. And they got the email. God heard the prayers. There was other people praying, other stuff going on. But she said when that was going on, there wasn't a clear, that it wasn't like God was saying, pray for them. That's kind of cool. It wasn't that kind of voice. It was just, I should pray for them. But then you start analyzing and say, I'm not sure if God really wants me to do this or this, but I had this idea. And then you start thinking about it, say, well, would this come from Satan? Well, no. Does this come from my natural desires? Would I naturally want to do that? No. Is it in line with God's will? Well, yeah. Chances are it's probably the Holy Spirit prompting you to do that. What has God asked you to do that you're not doing? May the Spirit give us the strength to just do it. And last question, what has God asked you to do that you're doing? And as you look at your life, you say, this is what God's asked me to do in this area of my life, and I'm doing it. And if we're going to be people who are under God's orders and do what Jesus is asking us to do in every area of our lives, then we have to be constant and persevere with those things. So I would encourage you to dedicate yourself to, with renewed effort, continue in those things that God has asked you to do that you're already doing, not because you have to, not because now it's just part of your routine, but because God has told you to do it. So let's live as people who are under God's direct orders. What do you need to do? More importantly, what will you do? Why don't we pray together? God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for not just moving in Paul and giving him the life that he had, but thank you that he was able to write down and express a sense of who he was so we could see that and we could see an example of what it means to follow you and to truly live as people who are under your authority, who live under your orders, who do everything we do because you told us to. May you guide us, God. May you help us be people who live our lives like Paul did, helping many people know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.